The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Pablo Torre. Wilbon has the day off today, so I am honored that you asked me to co-host, Tony.
Tony Kornheiser, you think this was my idea? Really?
What? I mean...
Really?
I like to think that you have some influence over this program after almost 20 years exactly in September, but is that not the case?
I'm happy when you're on the show. But, you know, I got two or three guys I'd rather have. They just don't work here anymore. What can I tell you? Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. Wilbon off today. I'm pleased to be joined by our great friend from the ESPN Daily podcast, my grandson, Pablo Torre.
Okay, that was something.
A little late with those cheers. And we begin today with a pre-draft bombshell from Adam Schefter of ESPN that Aaron Rodgers is so disgruntled that he has told some people within the Packers organization that he does not want to return to the team. The Packers top brass is concerned enough to have made multiple trips to visit Rodgers this offseason, but he reportedly still wants out. The Packers maintain they aren't interested in trading him. Pablo, how do you see this playing out?
I see this playing out bitterly, Tony, protractedly, kind of like a land war in Asia, like one of these things that we're just going to be sitting with for a very long time, leading to regret by many people involved. And this is not shocking, Tony. That's my first reaction to it, right? It's not shocking. We've heard dribs and drabs of this. Aaron Rodgers passive-aggressively making fun of his own coaching staff while filling in on Jeopardy, the job he wants to do full-time, it seems, or at the very least simultaneous with his football career as a full-time host. And now we have all these rumors, right? Like the floodgates have opened. Mike Florio is saying, wait a minute, he wants to go to the West Coast. Maybe it's the Raiders. Maybe it's the Broncos. Trey Wingo is adding his 2 cents into the equation. Like, all of these people have theories now. I can't keep track with all of them. All I know is that Aaron Rodgers, it seems, is very seriously somebody who expects to be out of there. And I don't know how this resolves because he doesn't have any of the power to get out of there, actually.
Okay. I'll address all of those things in a second, but I want to go back to your notion that it is a protracted land war. So you don't think that there's any possibility that tonight, in the first round of the draft, that something could be set in motion and there could be this explosion and Aaron Rodgers is somewhere else by tomorrow morning? You don't think that?
I would love Rodgers for Russell Wilson to happen tonight. I think the Packers front office, they're not trying to do that. No, I don't.
Okay, so now I will deal with this. And permit me to gloat for a little while, because I believe I had this months ago, in which I said repeatedly on this show, much to the delight and laughter of Michael Wilbon, that the combination of Aaron Rodgers being insulted when the Packers drafted Jordan Love and then having the ball taken out of his hands in a playoff game had hardened his heart towards the coaching staff and towards the team, and he would attempt to get out. And everybody shouted me down, and as you see, he's not out. So I could still be wrong on this, but it also strikes me that Aaron Rodgers, the reigning MVP of the league, is one of the very, very, very few people in the NFL with NBA power, with James Harden power, with LeBron James power, that he could say to them, you know what, I'm not playing for you anymore. It's as simple as that. I'll go host Jeopardy. I'm not playing for you anymore. I'm not saying this will happen. I think it will happen, and I could be proven wrong, but Aaron Rodgers understands stardom. Aaron Rodgers understands who he is. As Kevin Durant likes to say, you all know who I am. I'm Kevin Durant. You all know who Aaron Rodgers is.
I also feel like Aaron Rodgers probably looked around and realized, I am not going to be playing this game for much longer. What did Tom Brady get, Tony? He got a situation that was handpicked.
Got out.
That'll be very different, but he got out. And the question now, if you're Aaron Rodgers, is, to your point, how much of a stink can you make such that they actually want you out? This is what Deshaun Watson tried. Let's keep in mind, right, Tony? And then circumstances, for very obvious reasons, changed with Watson.
Changed.
He never got that experiment. But what Aaron Rodgers can do, the fact that we're learning all of this on the afternoon of the draft, it tells me that he doesn't think it's going to happen. And this might be his last best shot at getting out tonight.
Let's move now. You mentioned the draft. Let's move now to tonight's first round of the NFL draft. And yes, we are all on the clock. Pablo, I'm going to cut to the chase. What is the thing you're most intrigued about in tonight's first round? And maybe it is Aaron Rodgers. Maybe it's something else.
So I don't think it's going to be Rodgers, so let's leave that aside for now. But to me, it does involve the third pick overall that the 49ers traded up for, Tony, because previous to Rodgers, we have been getting hit by smoke bombs. I don't know who they're from. I don't know what direction they're coming from. All I know is that there was a lot of momentum that was very clear for weeks and months almost that they were going to take Mac Jones. And then seemingly in the last 24, 48 hours, it became, wait a minute, Trey Lance. And so I have no idea truly what the Niners are going to do, but that will shape everything else we see tonight.
Yeah. So, yeah, we all want to see what happens with the number three pick now, probably more than ever, because it could be so convoluted. It could run around in like a spiral staircase with it. I have to be honest with you. I love watching the draft. I think it is a great television show. But without the quarterbacks or the running backs or the wide receivers, I don't know who any of them are. If you lined up the 10 best DBs in the country and had them wear a name tag and paraded them in front of me, I wouldn't know who they are. And any team that has a need to get a defensive back in the first round, they're probably pretty good anyway. So I want to see what happens with three. I want to see, and I may have to wait 2 years down the road to see if Kyle Shanahan really knows what he's doing. And I want to see one other thing. I want to see if Bill Belichick lands a quarterback or if he stays with Cam Newton. Because to me, if Bill Belichick can climb back up the ladder after Brady, that is a great story, and I want to see that.
That's a great story, Tony. Here's my skepticism about it, though, is that we have heard that Belichick is intrigued by trading up into the top 10, maybe for Justin Fields. And my reaction to that would be the fact that we're hearing about this suggests that Belichick is not leaking it, because Bill Belichick has no time for any of the nonsense and the smokescreen. So it tells me that maybe not as likely, even though I certainly hope for all of the chaos of Bill Belichick trading up in the draft for a quarterback for the first time.
There's two other things I want to see. Devontae Smith, he won the Heisman Trophy. I want to see if he's even the first wide receiver picked, or if Ja'Marr Chase of LSU is the first wide receiver picked. And let me go back to the undercurrent of all of this. I want to see what the Packers do. I want to see if the Packers draft somebody to help Aaron Rodgers on offense or humiliate him one more time. I want to see that.
Yeah, maybe they'll finally draft a wide receiver for him. But I want to move to baseball now, Tony, because the Mets have once again failed Jacob DeGrom. DeGrom gave up just one earned run over six innings, but lost 1-0 to the Boston Red Sox. That brings the total number of earned runs DeGrom has surrendered over his five starts this season to just two, exactly two, yet he is just 2-2. So after the game, DeGrom said this, quote, "Kind of displeased with my mechanics, just wasn't able to make pitches when I needed to," end quote. So, Tony, are you buying that any of this is DeGrom's fault?
Okay, so I watched DeGrom. I watched the whole game last week when he pitched against the Washington Nationals. And he was brilliant. He went nine innings. He gave up two hits. He struck out 15 batters. And I marveled at him. I mean, and he got run support that day. He got 6-0. So it was an easy route for him to go. It reminds me of Max Scherzer with the Nationals. They are common in the sense that they are both multiple Cy Young winners and common in the sense that their teams do not give them much run support. And I've thought about this, and it occurs to me maybe the guys on the team get complacent in those games because they know they got DeGrom and they got Scherzer and they're not going to give up a lot of runs. So if the question is, are these teams killing these pitchers? No, because the pitchers have multiple Cy Youngs. But yes, because it's so hard for them to win when their statistics tell you they should be like 22-5 over the course of a season.
It would be so fun if I could just go full Wilbon on you, Tony, here and talk about how the entire job a pitcher has is to win games for his team and the statistics underneath do not really matter. But the statistics that DeGrom is giving us are insane. I mean, Scherzer, there is commonality for the reasons you say, but what DeGrom is doing on a historical basis, right? There is a statistic, and this is very anti-Wilbonian, but there's a statistic that is ERA plus. It normalizes for the league average. It normalizes for ballpark such that you can compare across time. Basically, the number one all-time record for ERA plus right now, the best, is like 200-something in the 1880s, okay? What DeGrom is doing right now He is at 744, right? 2.5 times better than the best season by a pitcher we've ever seen.
Yeah.
DeGrom throwing 100 miles an hour on average with his fastball and 92 with his changeup. He is a specimen that is breaking the game of baseball, even as all these other pitchers are trying to do the same thing.
And they don't get any runs for him. I'll give you one thing here. By the way, this is the way he wins the Cy Youngs. He wins the Cy Youngs first when he was 10-9. The second one, he was 11-8. The Mets are 38-43 in his 81 starts since 2018. And he's got an ERA of under 2.
Yeah. Yes.
Stay with baseball. Last night in the sixth inning of a 3-3 game, St. Louis sent left-hander Genesis Cabrera to the mound. On his very first pitch, Cabrera hit Bryce Harper in the face with a 97-mile-an-hour pitch. On his next pitch, Cabrera hit Didi Gregorius in the ribs with a 94.5-mile-an-hour pitch. Phillies manager Joe Girardi went nuts. He wanted Cabrera tossed, though nobody thought the pitches were intentional. Cardinals manager Mike Shildt said he would have taken Cabrera out, but baseball's new rule mandates that a pitcher face at least 3 batters, so Pablo, should the rule be changed?
Well, first off, Joe Girardi, I believe, had his face broken by a pitch, so there is authority from experience. I understand where he's coming from. The rule, Tony, like, I'm curious what you think about this, because I have seen this rule do very little for the game of baseball, right? Pace of play was supposedly the upside of having to keep a pitcher in. No more, you know, one batter for one pitcher, no more loogie guys, no more of that stuff. But in my experience, the game hasn't really been impacted by this rule change. What it does is provide very interesting test cases that make everybody regret that they made the rule in the first place, like this one.
Yeah, I mean, I generally like the rule. I like the rule because it cuts down on the parade of relievers in a given inning. I like the rule because it eliminates the loogie and forces a pitcher to be more complete. I would not want to amend it to say if the guy hits the first 2 batters that he faces, he's automatically out, because what if he hits him in the shoe? You know, what if he hits him in the shoe? This, how I asked earlier in the day, how rare is this? It is rare. It is not impossibly rare. It's rare. Twice this year so far, first 2 pitches hit a batter. The compromise, and by the way, I understand why Girardi went nuts, and shout out John Boy, because he had this whole thing. And Girardi, the pitcher is unsafe on the mound.
Yes.
But I think a reasonable compromise would be if the umpires polled both managers. And if the manager said, get him out of here, then you get him out of here. Right? In this case, I think that would have happened.
The manager in this case was saying after the game, I wish I could take him out, which must not make the pitcher feel very good. But the question then, Tony, if you work in like a wrinkle, right, and you're like, okay, wait a minute. Maybe if you hit a guy twice in a row, you can eliminate the rule. Well, what if you do it on purpose, right? Like, the problem with baseball right now is the league office has to keep up with the conniving strategy of front offices that are getting smarter. And I just wonder if there's any good way to do this outside of what you say, which is, let's just use common sense. Let's just have that be the ruler at the end of the day.
If you do it on purpose, 2 of your hitters are going out in the ribs. Let's take a break. Coming up, does Zion Williamson really need to play a few more seasons before he earns this call?
And the Suns beat the Clippers, but did the Jazz post the more impressive win? Toss-up is next.
By the way, the third batter didn't get hit. He got a hit and drove in the run that was pinch running for Bryce.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/PTI. That's amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Time for toss-up. Two men enter, but only one is rocking a headrest. What's first?
Toss-up. Who should have gotten this call, Nikola Jokic or Zion Williamson?
So let me set the scene on this. It's a two-point game, right? Brandon Ingram makes a great pass to Zion Williamson, who's got daylight to the rim, and Jokic comes from behind and blocks it, ending the game that would have gone into overtime. The NBA today came out and said it was a foul. Did he get him on the hand? Maybe he did. But he got so much ball, Pablo, so much ball that I would have called it a block.
So much ball, but so much human flesh. I mean, to me, what bothered me after the game was that Zion Williamson is still, Tony, too polite to complain about this stuff. I would have been so angry. I would have been trying to work the refs. But no, he actually sounded like he agreed with you. Like, maybe it could have gone either way. No, man. He hit you right on the arm. On the arms. Please act like you're mad for the first time.
Don't. He doesn't have to complain. Stan Van Gundy complains for him. What's next?
Toss up. More impressive win last night. The Jazz or the Suns?
So Utah put 154 on Sacramento. Sacramento stinks. They give up 119 every game. 154 doesn't seem egregious. And Phoenix beat the Clippers without Kawhi Leonard. I don't care about these two games. What I care about is that Utah is playing Phoenix tomorrow night with first place on the line. I don't want to waste my oxygen on the Sacramento Kings. That's the game we should be talking about. The meat, not the appetizer.
Doesn't it feel to you, Tony, like the Suns and the Jazz are kind of playing a different sport than the Clippers, though? And I don't say that because, wow, the Jazz and the Suns are really good. I just mean they clearly care about the regular season in ways that Kawhi Leonard does not. Because the Clippers have played 34 games missing Kawhi and Paul George. They're only two back. They seem to be just waiting for the playoffs. And meanwhile, we can award the Suns and the Jazz things that ultimately we won't care about come July.
I think it's very nice that Kawhi Leonard occasionally plays. I do. That's it. Let's take one last break. But still to come, could Urban Meyer and the Jaguars sign Tim Tebow as a tight end?
And Mike Tyson, Tony, tells TMZ he is ready to get back into the ring.
I admired Tebow when he tried to play baseball. I did. And if he were to actually come back and play another position, I will admire that. And he played for Urban Meyer in Florida.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Happy time, people. Happy 28th birthday, Justin Thomas. It's been a rough year for JT. He was overheard uttering a homophobic slur and lost sponsorships and popularity. Thomas publicly apologized and repeatedly vowed to do better. A short time later, Thomas lost his grandfather, a teaching pro like his own father. The three of them often were together at tournaments. After winning the Players in March, Thomas cried on camera, speaking of his grandfather. Thomas was the tour's leading money winner in 2017, 2018, and 2020, and he is top of the money list now. Thomas won the PGA in 2017 for his only major so far. The PGA is coming up in a few weeks at Kiawah. You want to know how hard it is to win multiple majors? Thomas is on everybody's short list of best players, but his best finish at the Masters is fourth place. His best finish at the U.S. Open is tied for eighth. His best finish at the British Open is T11.
Yeah, I don't know if he's going to win another major, Tony, but I do know that we've been watching him since he made the cut at Wyndham at like age 16, and he now has $43 million in total earnings. That's 18th all time already. He's 28 years old.
I would bet on him to win more majors. I would. Happy anniversary, Roger Clemens. On this day 35 years ago, while pitching for the Red Sox, Clemens set a major league record by striking out 20 Seattle Mariners. In the long history of baseball, only Clemens, Kerry Wood, and Max Scherzer have struck out 20 people in a 9-inning game. And Clemens did it twice, 10 years apart. Randy Johnson struck out 20 in 9 innings in 2001, but that game lasted 11 innings, so Johnson absurdly didn't get credit for doing it in 9. Clemens is likely the best power pitcher the last 40 years. He doesn't have as many strikeouts as Nolan Ryan or Randy Johnson, but he was a more dominant pitcher. He has far more victories than either of them. Clemens' career record is 354 and 184. Greg Maddux, who dominated with location rather than power, has 355 victories, but he also has 227 losses. And yes, Clemens is not in the Hall of Fame.
So to me, Kerry Wood's 20 strikeouts is still the best pitched game of all time. But my favorite thing about all these 20 strikeout games you mentioned, Tony, the total number of walks from all those pitchers, 0. Total mastery in every single instance.
Absolutely. Happy trails, Freddie Freeman. With Atlanta leading 10-0 last night, Cubs manager David Ross let Anthony Rizzo pitch in the 7th inning. And Freddie Freeman, who already had 4 hits and 3 RBI, came up to bat. The two were pals. Rizzo was grinning at the hole at bat. At 2-2, Rizzo threw a 61-mile-an-hour curveball he said he learned from his father, and Freeman whiffed. Both guys were laughing. You can see Freeman clapping when he returned to the dugout. Earlier this month, Rizzo was chasing Freeman in a rundown and he yelled out, "Frederick!" as if to scold Freeman to slow down and get tagged. Rizzo gave last night's strikeout ball to Ross for safekeeping and he said, quote, "I'm probably going to have to ask Freddie for his jersey too."
Yeah, I normally root for blood feuds in sports, Tony, but this is honestly too adorable for me to get mad at. I loved all of that.
Am I crazy or does everybody like Freddie Freeman? Freddie Freeman has done more damage to the Nats than any player in Major League Baseball, and everybody in Washington likes Freddie Freeman. Everybody likes this guy. We have no errors today. We will go to the big finish. Kyrie Irving will miss tonight's game with the Pacers due to groin soreness. Are you disappointed?
I am. I love watching Kyrie Irving play basketball, even if what he says otherwise makes no sense. And I want to see whether the Nets are going to be like anything close to what they're rumored as. But meanwhile, the Wizards beat the Lakers for their 11th win in their last 13 games, Tony. Are you impressed?
On this particular game, LeBron James didn't play, and the Wizards have two great players in Westbrook and Beal. Lately, I'm very impressed with them. They're 13-7 in the last 20. They're going to make the play-in tournament. The Jaguars recently worked out Tim Tebow as a tight end at his request. Your thoughts?
Only about a decade late, Tim. Like, I'm rooting for him, as I said, from the Philippines, but if you did this a little bit sooner, you might still be, you know, like a relevant NFL player. Meanwhile, Mike Tyson tells TMZ he's fighting Lennox Lewis in September. Are you excited?
Excited isn't the right word. I can't believe this is actually going to happen. Would I watch? Of course. And I don't believe it'll really happen. Last one, Trevor Bauer can move to 4-0 if he beats the Brewers tonight. Do you like his chances?
I do. Trevor Bauer, for all of the investigations into substances that have been rumored, he is really good until proven otherwise. So give me Trevor Bauer and the Dodgers.
I've come to love Trevor Bauer. We're out of time. We'll try to do better the next time, and I'm Tony Kornheiser.
And I'm Pablo Torre. Please check out ESPN Daily on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get podcasts. And now, here is SportsCenter.
Good job, Pablo. Clarence, get back.